Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, June the 16th. This has been a tremendous news day. I mean, there's just some big stories in the news today. The governor of Texas announced the details of how the border wall will be built. President Biden and President Putin met overseas. And, I mean, it's just those two stories alone would be enough to, I mean, one of those would be enough to fill a whole day. But, you know, it's just an amazing, amazing day. So we're going to get right to it. And let me begin with the Texas border wall. The governor today made it final that Texas is going to build a wall. Now, he calls it a border wall. I'm not exactly sure if the wall is going to be right on the border. I don't know that. And they're going to hire a project manager who's going to basically oversee the operation, because this is going to be a major construction project. I mean, it'll probably hire hundreds of people. So they're going to get that started. They're going to use about $1 billion that the state government had destined for border security. So that's going to be where the money's going to come from. And, you know, incredibly, I didn't know this, but I guess people are already sending money, contributions, private contributions. And I guess some of that will also be used, although I'm not exactly sure how that's going to work out. I'm sure there's going to have to be a lot of transparency in how that works out. But the bottom line is the construction of the wall will begin. Probably not right away, but there'll be a few weeks to put the whole thing together. And I thought the governor today was about as clear as any politician I have ever heard on why we need to have a wall. I mean, I have never heard a politician be more clear than that. He went through the fact that the federal government is not enforcing the law. They have a responsibility in the federal government to enforce the law. They're not doing it. They're not enforcing the border. They're not doing it. 150,000, 180,000, 160,000 people every month are coming into the country. And it isn't just here in Texas. I mean, the governor of Iowa is protesting because they're getting people up there. They don't even know who these people are. They're landing in airplanes. The governor of Tennessee has a similar problem. I'm sure there's other states with similar issues. But that's the way it is. We're going to get started. And frankly, I think this wall is going to have a lot more support in Texas than the Democrats realize. In other words, if the Democrats want to make this wall into their issue of 2022, be my guest. Because my sense is that down South Texas, where these little towns and the areas that are really being impacted by this crazy inflow of people, I have a feeling that a lot of Democrats down South Texas are going to be very supportive of this wall, because frankly, they're the ones who are living in this chaos. They're the ones who are seeing crime in their streets. There was a police chief of a small town in South Texas who was saying that there has been an increase in carjackings since this crazy situation on the border began. So we'll see what happens next. I'm assuming that some Democrat organization will file a lawsuit against Texas, and there is a good possibility that they will find a lawyer within Texas or a judge within Texas who will issue some kind of an injunction or whatever they do. And then we'll see what happens. And then I guess it'll go to appeal, where I'm assuming the appeal court is going to say, you know what? Texas has the right to build a border wall. I mean, we're building it on Texas territory. We're using Texas funds. And we're not going to arrest anybody for immigration law. If you get arrested jumping the wall, you're going to be arrested for trespassing, because the wall is more than likely going to be on someone's property. So I think it's a very clever way of doing it, what the governor is doing it. But more than clever, it is the right thing to do. And a clear-cut example that we have a governor who tackles issues. He's not putting this off, as other governors tend to do. No, he's going to tackle the issue. Now, an interesting development, and I heard this right after the speech this afternoon, other states apparently are going to be helping. The governor of Florida just announced that Florida will be sending some law enforcement personnel to Texas to help us with the border. I'm assuming other states will do the same. Arizona has a problem very similar to Texas, so they're going to have to do something there as well. But the bottom line is that we have chaos on the border. This is not by any means immigration or asylum, what we're watching on the border. This is total, complete chaos, and it's got to stop. I mean, it just has to stop. And I thought President Trump had this thing really figured out when he negotiated the Remain in Mexico policy with Mexico, because that's really what stopped it. Once the people in Central America and everywhere else realized that they were not going to be able to go into the United States, that they were going to have to stay in Mexico, that's when it ended, because they don't want to stay in Mexico. You know, they don't want to spend their time in Mexico waiting for the court date. That's not what they want to do. They want to get into the United States. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I'm sure there's going to be a protest. I'm sure there's going to be a lawsuit from some Democrat group. But I just don't understand why this effort would fail in the courts. I mean, it's clearly obvious that the Biden administration is not doing their job running the border. You know, one last thing about that I want to say is that Henry Cuellar, who is the Texas representative on the border, he's the representative of one of the border districts, congressional districts. He's calling on Vice President Harris to come and take a look at the border. Come and take a look at the border. And I thought that was very, very significant of this gentleman, Representative Cuellar, who's been who's been super, super critical of the Biden administration when it comes to the border. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. As I said before, a very busy news day. Normally, we'll get one story, but here we got two big ones. Well, President Biden and President Putin met wherever they were. I think it was Brussels. Look, I think the early impression is not always very good or very meaningful. What I mean to say by that is that both sides are going to come out and they're both going to put up a good face or a pretty face. The real problem here is what happens down the road. You know, there have been two presidential meetings or meetings between the President of the United States and the head of the USSR, the Soviet Union, now Russia, of course. The first one was in 1961, President Kennedy and Nikita Khrushchev. They met in Vienna, and Nikita Khrushchev walked away from that meeting saying, you know, I can deal with this guy. I can put him away very easily. And then he went back home, and the situation in Berlin became very tense. They had to build a wall, and things got really nasty, you know, in the Cold War. And, of course, 15 months later after this meeting with Khrushchev, President Kennedy was dealing with nuclear missiles in Cuba because, again, Nikita Khrushchev thought he could get away with it because of the impression that he had of President Kennedy in Vienna. This is at the end of May 1961. Kennedy at the time had been in office for less than 4 months, maybe 4 months. He had had that terrible incident that turned out to be a disaster for him. And, you know, Khrushchev thought, this guy is inexperienced. He's weak. I think I can push him around. And we ended up with the Cuban Missile Crisis because of that, as well as the crisis in Berlin, and I would argue even Vietnam. I think China was encouraged as well, and I think a lot of the Vietnam War probably was expanded because of that meeting. The other big meeting in our lifetime is 1986, October 1986, when President Reagan and President Gorbachev met. And I don't remember where they met, somewhere in Europe. And that meeting was the exact opposite. In that meeting, immediately Reagan established himself as the top gun. He was saying, I'm the guy. And he was very blunt with Gorbachev and said, look, you know, I've got more resources and I can literally just build as many weapons as I want. And you're not going to be able to keep up with us. And that's more or less what happened. You know, the Soviet Union simply could not maintain the arms race. The Soviet economy was a disaster. So 3 years after, 3 years after Gorbachev and Reagan met, the Berlin Wall collapsed. And as we know, 5 years after this meeting, Gorbachev was looking for a job because he was no longer the president of the Soviet Union. So we don't know how this is all going to end up because, frankly, there are some things in the air that we don't know. For example, Iran at the moment has some warships headed to Venezuela. What does that mean? Where is that going to end up? I don't know. But we have got to make it very clear to Iran that they don't bring military ships to Venezuela. And we're going to have to stop them if we have to. At the moment, we know that China has been very, very aggressive with Taiwan. Now, they're flying, you know, jets and all of that around Taiwan. I think they're provoking Taiwan, frankly. I mean, I think Taiwan has been very discreet and has been very wise in not reacting to the provocations. But, you know, something could happen one day. You know, somebody shoots down a Chinese jet and there it goes. So we don't know how China is going to interpret the meeting today between Putin and Biden. We don't know. They could interpret the meeting as, hey, this is our time to go into Taiwan, or they may not. You know, we don't know. The same with Iran. Iran may say, you know what, let's bring those ships back. We don't really need them in Venezuela anyway. So there are many, many things that could happen over the next 6 to 9 months that are going to be a consequence of this trip. This trip or this visit today was more cosmetic than anything else. And by the way, I thought the media became obnoxious after a while because all they want to do is talk about how more popular Biden is than Trump, which is a completely meaningless bit of information because this is not about a popularity contest. This is a meeting between the presidents of the two countries. So we'll see how it turns out. But for now, I think it's all cosmetics and President Biden will fly back to the United States and then he'll deal with some real problems that we've got back here. Namely, within his own party, some real challenges to the Democrat Party. Well, I had a post today talking about the elections in Texas and how, you know, you had an election in Arlington, an election in Fort Worth, and now an election in McAllen, Texas, where the Republicans won. And I think the message is becoming more and more obvious here in Texas that Republicans can win because I think Hispanics are becoming more and more open to the idea of voting Republican. Again, the mayor of McAllen is now a Republican. And I'm sure that a lot of Democrats, a lot of Hispanics voted for this man saying, hey, you got to fix the border and we're going to support what you do on the border. I think the border issue is a huge problem down on McAllen, of course. So, you know, when people tell you that Hispanics don't vote in Texas because of all these voting restrictions, that's just a bunch of crap. Hispanics are voting, and they're voting in huge numbers. And finally, cable news ratings have just about collapsed as much as, you know, as much as they can. Now, Fox News continues to lead the pack, but they're not drawing the same audiences they were drawing, let's say, back in October 2020. So they're not at those levels. I mean, but they still lead the pack. Tucker Carlson is number one and Hannity. I mean, these people are still leading the pack. They're just not getting the numbers they were getting, let's say, in October or September 2020 when they were the number one destination for people when it came to cable news. But, I mean, CNN and MSNBC, I mean, they're just not going anywhere. And you have to really wonder at what point do the people running those organizations, the people who, you know, have to explain to the shareholders you know, why the ratings are so bad. You know, you've got to believe that at some point they're going to do something to fix those networks. Maybe they'll change them. Maybe somebody will come up with a novel idea. Maybe somebody will say, wow, why don't we do a cable news network, a real news network, not opinion all the time? That's the other problem. I think there's two big problems with cable news. The first one, of course, was the obsession with President Trump, where they had to be talking about President Trump 24/7. Without President Trump, well, they don't have anything to talk about. They just don't have anything to talk about. And, you know, they're just sitting around looking at each other saying, well, what can we do about Trump today? Well, there's nothing they can do. Trump is out of office. So I think that was the first thing, you know, an obsession with Trump. The other thing I believe also was the fact that they became more interested in opinions than anything else. So you were sitting there watching the news and all you heard was two opinions, two people arguing with each other. And I think after a while that gets old, you know, people do want to know what the news is and then they can, you know, they can get their, make their own opinion on their own. So no matter what happens over the next few months or over the next year, cable news will never be the same. I mean, I think we're in an era right now where people are just, you know, they're just not watching the news. And a lot of it, you can put on the laps of the news cable services themselves, who I think just became obsessed with Trump and did not realize that if Trump was gone, what were they going to do? Well, not much, because apparently nobody wants to watch Biden. Nobody's turning on the TV to say, gee, what did Biden say today? They did with Trump. He obviously got him an audience, but not Biden. Well, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening, I should say. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.